Agreements on permitting ride-hailing services outside New York City and a measure to treat 16 and 17-year-olds as juveniles, not adults, in the court and prison system, known as Raise the Age, were coming together as the budget deadline approaches. The Assembly sponsor of the bill to expand ride-hailing services, Democrat Kevin Cahill of Kingston, confirms there is agreement between the governor and legislature on allowing services like Uber and Lyft to operate upstate and on Long Island.
Now it appears that there's a three-way agreement to recognize their unique business model and provide a means by which they can conduct business in New York the same way they do in other states.
Cahill says the compromise will allow the ride-hailing services to regulate themselves, including devising specific rules for background checks, provided they allow the State Department of Motor Vehicles to monitor the regulations. Individual cities and counties over 100,000 people would have the option of accepting those rules or opting out and banning the ride-hailing services altogether. Cahill says Assembly Democrats had sought more local control over regulating the companies and wanted rules similar to safeguards for taxicab drivers, like fingerprinting. But in the end, he says, they compromised.
The opportunity for local governments to opt out was a responsible way to approach it.
The ride-hailing companies will be required to provide $1.25 million in insurance for drivers riding with passengers or on their way to pick them up, and $75,150 of insurance protection for drivers without anyone else in the car. The drivers will be part of the New York City Black Car Fund that provides health coverage if they're injured on the job. Uber and Lyft, as well as some state politicians, including Governor Cuomo, say ride-hailing services will boost the upstate economy. But Assemblyman Cahill is not convinced.
I don't believe that is true. No, I don't think it will do particularly much for the upstate economy. I do think that in those communities that don't have adequate taxi service, it will help make things a little bit better. In some communities where there is adequate taxi service, but there's a need for something a little extra and on busy days or holidays, then it will help out there too. But no, I don't think it will have a dramatic positive impact. Much of the spin that came out of the companies that supported their legislation was not based in fact.
Another major non-spending issue connected to the budget is to treat 16 and 17-year-olds accused of crimes as juveniles, not adults, in the state's court and prison systems. Supporters want the teens to be processed in family court and, if found guilty, placed in juvenile detention centers. A compromise emerging between Cuomo and legislative leaders would divert some of the teens accused of violent crimes to a new youth court, says Senate Independent Democratic Conference leader Jeff Klein.
There would be family court for the less serious cases, and the youth court would be for more serious. But we're still talking about the logistics.
Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, who championed the issue, holds a slightly different view of what the youth courts could mean. He says they're more of a temporary venue before the teens' cases are ultimately addressed in family court.
There's a misconception that the youth court would handle in totality the 16 and 17-year-olds. That the youth court would, from where we are, would just be a mechanism, and in some instances a temporary mechanism, before the children go to family court. So the idea that there's going to be a total separate court to handle all cases for 16 and 17-year-olds, that's not correct.
The governor and lawmakers are also close on a third item, a multi-billion-dollar bond act to provide infrastructure for clean water. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.